This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Hi, and welcome to the Alcoholics Anonymous radio show here on Plains FM 96.9. My name is Martine and I'm an alcoholic. The purpose of this show is to increase public awareness of Alcoholics Anonymous as an effective means of recovery from the disease of alcoholism. Our show has two parts. First, we talk a bit about alcoholism, what it is and what AA can do to help. Then we'll interview a recovering alcoholic who is an active member of AA. Now, first I'm going to ask our guest to read the AA preamble, which is read at the start of every AA meeting.
I'm Hikaiti, Julian, alcoholic. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share the experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy. Neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety.
So what is alcoholism? Alcoholism is a disease, not a disgrace. There's no shame in having an illness or a disease. An unusual feature of this disease is that it will do whatever it can to convince you that you do not have it. However, once it has a hold of you, the progression of symptoms is like the classic disease model, and the victim is as helpless as a sufferer of cancer. If you are an alcoholic, you're at the beginning of a long road that usually ends in one of three places: prisons, institutions, or death. And if you think this sounds dramatic, we can assure you that our collective experience has shown this to be true. The challenge is to convince the alcoholic to admit that they need help and become willing to seek it. Denial is a major symptom of alcoholism. The alcoholic is often the last one to recognise it and admit that they have it. Our definition of alcoholism is that it's an allergy of the body coupled with an obsession of the mind. The allergy is the physical aspect of the disease. After having the first drink, the phenomenon of craving develops and we lose control over when we will stop drinking. The old saying is, one is too many and a thousand is never enough. And yet because of the obsession of the mind, the mental aspect of the disease, the alcoholic is compelled to keep picking up the first drink, and this makes us powerless. We often hear from sober alcoholics that many doubted whether their life could be fun without alcohol. Fortunately, those same people report that their lives have improved dramatically since they became sober. The 12-step program of recovery, which is discussed at meetings and which is outlined in the Alcoholics Big Book, is how we get sober and maintain our sobriety one day at a time. This program has a proven track record of helping otherwise hopeless alcoholics to achieve long-term sobriety and recovery. It has taught us how to enjoy life sober. Okay, for anyone who's just joined us, you're listening to the Alcoholics Anonymous radio show here on Plains FM 96.9. We're just about to interview a member who is going to share their experience with alcoholism. So let's meet our guest. I wonder if our guests would like to introduce themselves and give us a quick sketch of who you are.
A te mihi tuatai ki tātua, ko e te timatanga, ko e te whakamutinga, o ngā mea katoa no reire pā, tēnā koe. Tēnā korua, ngā tangata ki roto e te rūma nei, e mihi kia korua. Ko Karioi te Maunga, ko Wate Tuna te Awa, ko Aramiro te Whenua, ko Te Kaharoa te Marae, ko Julian Heitia, toku ingoa.
Great. Julian, can you tell us how old you are?
I'm 51.
And how long have you been sober for?
I've been sober for 5.5 months.
Great. And are you working at the moment?
No, I'm not working.
And what about family? Do you have any children?
I have 11 children and 14 grandchildren.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool. And can you tell us a bit about your childhood, where you're from and how you grew up?
I grew up in Hamilton with my parents. I guess my story, you know, it all starts from a child It was pretty much, it was all built around fear. Mum and dad coming back with friends from the pub, stealing their beer while they were all drinking. I guess the good thing about that was, it was when they were singing, that's where I felt safe, when they were all singing. But once they stopped singing and started arguing, that's when it started getting a bit scary for me. And I remember it wasn't just me, it was all my siblings as well, that at that time we all decided to go and run in the room and hide. And that was the childhood that I remember when I was a child, yeah, being brought up around alcohol.
And how many brothers and sisters did you have?
I've got four brothers and three sisters.
And where did you fit in? How old?
I'm in the middle.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you tell us about when you started drinking, sort of generally, and sort of how it progressed? And so when did you start, and what did alcohol do for you?
Okay, I said, you know, I got the taste of it when I was, gosh, I would have been at least 6, 7. And when it really, really started, where it started was, I think it would have been about 10, 11 years old. Yeah, that's when I started really drinking, finishing bottles, drinking crates with friends and my other siblings, pretty much with friends. But yeah, that's where it started for me, 10, 11 years old.
And how did it feel?
How did it feel? Gosh, to be quite honest, I can't remember how it felt. As the years progressed, I felt like I was part of, you know, I wasn't afraid of anything and anybody. That's what alcohol did for me at such a young age.
And how, when you were able to drink as you wanted to, how did you drink? Did you drink socially? Did you drink alone? Were you a binge drinker, a daily drinker?
I guess I was all the above. You know, the reason why I drank was to pretty much get that fix straight away, just to feel bulletproof. I didn't want to feel normal. I wanted to feel, that feeling of being bulletproof, drunk, I guess.
Yeah. And at what stage did you sort of feel it was a problem, and did you try and stop?
I guess when I started getting into my late teens, I started having, in my early teens, I started having children at the age of 16. That was my first child.
Wow.
And then I started having pretty much children year after year. Later on in my late teens, I recognised that it started to become a problem because I started ended up in prison.
Right. Did you kind of feel, did you know then, even when you were young, that the way that you drank was different to how other people were drinking? Or did it seem quite normalised?
It was normal. It was normal. That's the way I thought. Anyway, yeah, it was normal. Same as what other people, the way they were drinking. It was all about drink, get bulletproof, have fights. That's what I knew about drinking, because that's what I've seen, that's what I was brought up with.
Yeah.
So that was the norm. So if you weren't fighting when you were drunk, there was no use drinking.
Sometimes I've heard people say too that that they thought having children would help them stop drinking. Did you ever think that?
I never thought that. No, I never thought that. I always wanted to have kids when I was small.
Yeah.
You know, I just always had that thought of having kids. And I guess because I grew up a lot around a lot of my siblings and my cousins and, yeah.
Okay. So when did you realise you needed help, or what would you, how would you describe your rock bottom?
My rock bottom, I guess, is when I went through, in my late teenage year, I went through prison. I went in and out of prison for 10 years. And from 86 to 96, and I got introduced to AA, and that was my turning point there. And that's pretty much where it all started for me.
Yeah.
Recognising that I've got an issue, I've got a problem.
So you knew when you were in prison that you had a drinking problem?
I knew there was something wrong with my life.
Yeah.
I just couldn't figure it out. Because there was no programs like at that time for me to recognise that I had a problem.
Yeah.
I just knew I was doing the wrong thing. Why I kept ending up back in prison all the time.
Yeah. So sort of getting back to your, you know, sort of your rock bottom, had you sort of lost jobs? How was the relationship when things were at their worst for you? How was your relationship with your family and with, say, your children? How was that?
How was that? My siblings and myself, we parted. So I kind of lived up from the age of pretty much 11 going on 12. I kind of lived by myself. That was state ward at that time. I was a state ward, yeah. So, that's the kind of life I lived. I didn't live with my family, you know. So I had no family morals in that sense. I learned how to just live on my own.
Yeah.
And even though I still wanted kids, I still didn't know how to look after my kids when they were younger.
Yeah.
I guess because I was a kid myself as well.
Yeah.
Still trying to find myself.
Yeah.
Like I said, I was a child bringing up children.
Yeah.
But I guess at that time I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You know, so it didn't take me, I didn't find that out until later, years later, about finding out who I was.
Yeah.
And then I could understand my past.
Yeah.
You know, and that's pretty much how it all started.
So can you tell us when you were at your rock bottom, when your drinking was at its worst, how did you feel like in terms of like mentally and emotionally, how did you feel?
I guess my rock bottom started when it was a relationship with my kid's mother. When our relationship broke up, that was my rock bottom right there. Yeah. But in saying that, I still didn't know how to change. All I knew is when I say I didn't know how to change, I didn't know where to go to look for help.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's where it was for me, my rock bottom, yeah.
Okay, so you had your very first AA meeting inside prison?
That's right.
And what about your first one outside? How did that feel? Did it feel different? Were you concerned about going to, do you have any sort of reservations about that?
Yeah, I did. When I came out in prison, that gave me a doorway, and it was, you can come out and you'll be out for 3 months and we can cut your sentence in half. Now, that was my way out.
Right.
And it wasn't about change for me. Right then and then, it was just getting out of jail.
Yeah.
So I took that as an escape code.
Yeah.
And when I ended up in Taha Māori, they have a saying, you know, back then, this was in 96, I always remember that saying, if you don't get AA, AA will get you. And that's exactly what happened to me. Yeah, so that's when I was in recovery.
Yeah.
I spent about 2 weeks up there, you know, just breezing pretty much, just cruising, and then bing, and everything started opening up for me, yeah. Coming to my first AA meeting after recovery, or after rehab, it wasn't a problem. It wasn't a problem for me. It was just, yeah, I was glad to get out of the fantasy land into the real world,
yeah,
and sort it, you know. And I guess too back then for me, there was a lot of support as well, a lot of tautoko.
Yeah.
A lot of my whānau coming from out of rehab, so we moved as a unit.
Yeah.
You know, called Tahitanga.
Great. So, how do you think you've managed to stay sober?
Well, after I got out, after I got back in 96, I stayed sober. Because of my whānau, the unity that I had with whānau then, and we all had the same story. We all shared the same pain, so we understood one another.
Yeah.
And we moved, like I said, we all moved as one as well. I guess where things got a bit rough for me is when whānau went their own way, and that's when I started losing unity and losing their support and losing their confidence, I guess. And then I went back to my ways. And it wasn't just until five and a half months ago now, I came back. And I guess I've come back because of my age too as well. I've got children, I've got grandchildren. And I always say this, you know, I've got 30-something years to go now, so I want to make the most of it. You know, I want to give back.
So what's different this time? Why is it working this time?
I guess what's different for this time, pretty much what I've just said, you know, the love that I have for my grandchild, and that is my grandchild. He was the one that pretty much opened it for me. He reconnected me with my kids, and he connected me with his cousins. The love that he has showed me, and the love that I've given him, changed it all for me. And it was just took a 2-year-old, you know. So, yeah.
Cool. So, I guess a lot of people find, well, for me, I find that when I'm emotionally upset, that was sort of what was the most challenging, being newly sober. What do you think? How do you think it is that you cope, or you will cope, when difficult things happen for you now?
I guess my experience has, my life experience has shown me my rights and my wrongs, where to go and where not to go. Where I am now, I'm in a place where these skills and everything that I've learned in my past, I have now, and I'm really in touch with them. So I reach out to not just AA, I reach out to alcohol and drug programs as well.
Yeah.
I have a connection with a spiritual connection with my God, as I know him.
Yeah.
So all of those things, you know, help me keep my chin above water.
Okay, cool. And can you tell us how you feel about yourself now?
How do I feel about myself today? Yeah, okay. I feel I'm on top of the world. I say that because that's the way I feel today. You know, I've come such a long way, and the things that I've achieved in such a short time, you know, has really given me an understanding of where, you know, how far I've come in such a short time.
Yeah.
I'm just grateful to be clean and sober.
Yeah, for sure. And have other things changed since you've become sober? So, you know, your living situation, home, travel, hobbies, interests, things like that.
Yeah. Like I said, you know, things have happened so fast for me, you know, because I'm clean and sober. When I work at things to make things right, things happen.
Yeah.
You know, and I do it with a clean head. And that's what's been happening in my life today in such a short time. And I'm going to continue that.
Yeah. And what about your relationships? So what about especially the relationships with your children and your grandchildren? How are they different now that you're sober?
I listen more to my children now. I laugh with my children. I cry in front of my children. I do all those things that, you know, I was afraid to do or didn't know how to do.
Yeah.
When I was using. Same with my moko as well. You know, sometimes I feel like I go a bit too over the edge because I forget I'm the adult here. You know, I'm still stuck in that kid way, you know. But my moko, they love it. You know, they love it. So.
Nice. And what about your goals for the future? What do you want?
My goals for the future is to get back into my tikanga Māori, which I've already enrolled in, and to get back to the youth, which I've already enrolled in a course online to do with child and youth. So that's where I am today. Yeah, I guess I just want to be the nice guy now.
Yeah,
first and foremost to myself. Yeah.
Great. So AA has been described as a spiritual program.
Mm-hmm.
What does spirituality mean to you?
Spirituality. It's been in a, I guess spirituality for me is about having my own space, and singing waiata, or walking around nature, sitting at the beach, and just reflecting on life in itself and history, you know, past, present, future. That's the way I look at spirituality. It's prayer. Definitely prayer for me, yeah. And feeling, you know, feeling someone's pain when I'm sitting and listening to someone's story, you know, I really feel it now.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
How do you think, for you, spirituality differs from religion?
Oh, well, I don't know the answer to that. Religion, I mean, I don't know. I really don't know that. Is that about going and sitting in a church and reading it from my book, you know, or is it about going sitting at a beach or going walking and you know, in nature? I mean, that's a difference for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What would you suggest for listeners who are out there and they think they've got a problem drinking? What advice would you Do you wish that you'd been given when drinking became a problem for you?
You know, to be honest, I just wanted my mum and dad. You know, as a drinker, my advice, I guess, would be just to reach out. Reach out. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to reach out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. And what questions would you ask somebody to help them decide if they needed help?
What changes would you want for your kids? What changes would you make so that your children will benefit for the next future, for their future, and for their kids' future? What changes would you make? Would you break the cycle of alcohol and drugs, violence?
Julian, thank you very much for coming on the show and sharing your story with us.
It's fun, yeah.
For our listeners, if you've related to anything you've heard or would like some more information about Alcoholics Anonymous, you can look us up on the web at www.aa.org.nz or call us on 0800 AA Works. There are over 60 meetings a week in Canterbury, so it's likely there's one near you. Join us next week to hear more from AA members sharing their experiences. Our show is every Monday at 5:30 on Plains FM and repeats on Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. You can also find podcasts of our past shows on the Plains FM website at plainsfm.org.nz, or you can download, subscribe and listen to podcasts on iTunes and Spotify. That brings us to the end of the show. Thank you for listening, and remember, if you want to drink, that's your business. If you want to stop, we can help, and you don't have to do it alone. We will now close the show with a serenity prayer, as we do in every AA meeting. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. You've been listening to the Alcoholics Anonymous radio show on Plains FM 96.9.